So I have a personal example that I'll tell a story about this idea of watching an emotion appear and disappear. It was on a three-month retreat that I attended, and it was my first three-month retreat. And I noticed, well, we were given the instructions to guard our sense doors, to not look at people, to keep our focus down, and to really keep our attention pretty well contained in the body. And so I was really trying to practice with this instruction, and you know, really just kind of, whenever I was walking, I was just looking about 6 feet in front of me like this and not letting my eyes move, not letting my head move. It's kind of a rigid thing. But that's how I had been working with the instruction. And I started to notice that whenever somebody walked into my peripheral vision, I really wanted to look at them. I had this overwhelming desire come up to look at the person that was walking by. And for the longest time, I just kind of ignored it and just said, nope, I'm going to be just stay still. I'm just going to look right there. I'm not going to look. And at some point, I began to realize I should pay attention to the wanting. I should notice the wanting itself. And so I started watching what happened. I'd see somebody come into the field of vision, and I'd notice the wanting, and it would get very strong. I'd feel this whole feeling of being pulled, just like this magnet pulling me, wanting to look at this person. But I didn't. I just noticed the wanting. Just notice all the sensations around the wanting. And I began to notice that what would happen is that as the person that came into my field of vision, and then I'd see them, the wanting would be really strong. They might walk right in front of me, up the stairs, into the door. And as soon as they disappeared, the wanting disappeared. It was like magic. It was like, wow, that's amazing. In that split second, the wanting just poof, it's gone. And for a while, I just got into watching this, you know, as people would walk through my field of vision, I'd see the wanting, and then they'd walk past me and poof, it would be gone. So I would just notice this. And one day, because this was going on over days, this was days of experience. One day, I realized at some point, while the person was in my field of vision and I was experiencing the wanting, there was a recognition, this experience of wanting is impermanent. It's just going to disappear when the person goes out of my field of vision. And that wanting just disappeared immediately, right at that moment, in that recognition that the wanting itself was impermanent. So from that point on, I had no difficulty. The wanting just didn't appear anymore. I was just able to do my walking meditation. I was no more distracted by the wanting that had been arising for so many days. So that's the kind of thing I mean about paying attention to the life of the emotion. Notice that it arises, it stays for a while. What does it feel like when it stays? Notice when it goes away. Sometimes you may notice that you may not actually notice it going away, but you may notice that sometime later, oh gee, I'm not feeling that thing anymore. I'm not feeling that anger or that desire anymore. It's gone, but I didn't see it going. So in terms of paying attention to emotions in our meditation practice, we don't necessarily look for emotions as we did in the guided meditation. When I was doing that, it was kind of more as an exercise to give you a sense of what it's like to pay attention to emotions. So we don't typically do that in our meditation. But if, while we're paying attention to our breathing or to bodily sensation, some emotion becomes strong, it becomes predominant, and there becomes that kind of attention that it's hard to pay attention to the breathing because of the presence of this emotion, let your attention move to paying attention to the emotion itself. And when it's no longer compelling, or if it disappears, you can bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. So I want to just find out from you what kind of experience you had in the guided meditation when I asked you to pay attention to emotions. Anybody willing to share anything? Yeah.
Well, I came in, you know, beforehand with a lot of emotion going on with things in my life, but then you asked us to
That's a really great insight. That's so much the way that emotions work. They are really fed off of our thoughts. And if we can let go of the thoughts, even for just a few moments like we did with the breathing, we often find that a lot of the emotions that are following off of those thoughts will just, they'll just really settle. So that's a really, really great insight. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah.
Because I notice how the emotion comes and goes, because I was angry about something this morning, and then I haven't thought about it, my day's been pretty good, and I forgot today was mindfulness of emotions, and I had the thought coming in before you even mentioned it. And then when you mentioned it, I was just like, why am I thinking about this after such a good day? It just kind of came back, and then I paid attention to it, and then it just...
Uh-huh. It's great to notice that they are impermanent, because so often we don't really believe, as I said before, that we don't really believe they're impermanent. We somehow believe they've got a hold over us. But they're really just visitors. And so noticing that quality of them being there and not being there really supports our ability to be with them when they are here, because we know that they will not last. So that noticing that is really great. Anyone else? Yeah.
I sort of have a tendency when I'm trying to analyze my emotions to think in terms of the color gray. Because we tend, at least I tend to have a lot of emotions that are really black and a lot of emotions that are really white and red.
Well, with the mindfulness practice, what we learn to do too is to be able to be present for whatever is there, whether it's black or white or red or gray, whether it's really strong, difficult emotion or very peaceful, quiet emotion. The mindfulness allows us to actually get more comfortable with being with whatever is there. It's not necessarily that we're trying to get rid of emotion, but more to be comfortable with the experience of them. I think a lot of our difficulty with strong emotions, especially afflictive emotions, is that they're so uncomfortable that we want to do something to get rid of them. So we end up wanting to lash out or you know, change them somehow. And with the mindfulness, we begin to start getting comfortable just with the sensations of heat and tightness and tension that are manifesting, and even just the sense in the mind of burning that can accompany. We begin to become more comfortable with those. When we feel great moods of joy, we begin to get more comfortable and accepting of the fact that those too disappear, that they're not going to stay. That's the difficulty with the positive emotions, that we cling to them because we want them to stay, and we're afraid sometimes of them because we're afraid of them disappearing. So what we learn to do with the mindfulness is really to get comfortable with the flow and just the real dynamic nature of our emotions. So I can really appreciate your wishing to go to that more neutral place. And in some ways, the practice does take us there more and more often, but in not at the expense of repressing, you know, not at the expense of saying, I don't want to be there, I don't want to be with the black or the white. So it really is a very accepting practice, the mindfulness. So. Well, initially when I started paying attention to emotions, you know, I didn't actually have a lot of instruction even, you know, but just simply recognizing and naming you know, kind of just naming it in your mind. You can just very gently, you know that you're angry. You may not exactly know how you know you're angry. I mean, that's one of the doors into the body. You know, if you have an emotion, how do I know I'm feeling joy? How do I know I'm feeling anger? You know, that there's something that's telling us that it's more than just the quality in the mind. There's usually something in the body. So it can be hard at first to find it. You know, it's not always so obvious. So simply recognizing joy, I'm feeling joy. You know, you don't really need to do too much more than that initially, just that recognition, joy, joy, and quietly naming it, just using a mental label. You know, anger, anger, anger. This is anger. This is anger. Anger's like this. So that's one way if you're not really sure. And for me it was like that for quite a while, that it was just like all I knew was that I was angry. Okay, well, angry. I know I'm angry. Okay, angry, angry. So that's the labeling is a really good technique to use there. And actually, that kind of leads into the next thing I want to talk about, so I'll go ahead. So there's three basic components to the emotion, to any emotion. They all basically have these three components. There's the thoughts, the narrative that are around the emotion. There's the physical sensations in the body. And most emotions do have some kind of physical sensation. They may be very subtle, or it may be very obvious. And the third thing is a kind of emotional mood or tone in the mind. And that's what we sometimes just are picking up on when we're noticing, oh, I'm angry or I'm feeling joy. So it's just this tone or mood in the mind. But it can be very hard to actually notice what that is, what that mood or tone is. It's just a sense of knowing I'm angry or I'm joyful. It's really just that quality of knowing that that reflects. It's kind of like the mind has put on a set of colored glasses that color our experience. So that's the three components. And we can bring our mindful attention to any of these three components. We can bring our attention to the physical sensations, to the mood or tone in the mind, or to the thoughts that are accompanying it. But typically, bringing our attention to the thoughts has some degree of risk because we tend to get caught in the content of the thoughts and it tends to perpetuate the cycle of the thinking itself. So just to give you we'll talk about working with thoughts next week, and just to give you a pointer, a little bit of a heads up on this, when we work with thoughts in our meditation, we don't pay attention to the content of our thinking, we pay attention to the process of thinking. So that we're not engaged with the story when we're paying attention to our thoughts. We're just paying attention to what is the process of thinking. And we'll talk about that more next week. But just to let you know that in the mindfulness of the thoughts around the emotion, it's not the content of the emotion that I'm talking about. It's the process of the thinking itself. So with the mindfulness of emotion, it's really helpful to find some way to let go of the narrative, and one of the best ways to do that is in the body, as I said earlier, to bring our attention into the physical sensations of the body. There's four basic aspects to working with emotions, and one of my teachers, Michelle McDonald, came up with an acronym to help us remember these four aspects. And the acronym is RAIN, R-A-I-N, and they stand for recognition, acceptance, investigation, and non-identification. So the first aspect, recognition. This is what I was just talking about with you, that simply recognizing what emotion is happening and paying attention to it is very powerful. Sometimes it's quite clear what we're experiencing, and simply naming it, anger, happiness, fear, joy. So there's a power to that simple recognition, just simply recognizing what emotion is happening. Jack Kornfield likes to talk about the fairy tales where where the power is in the naming of the dragon. When we name the dragon disappears. And there is a sense that the actual naming of the emotion, it gives us it helps to disentangle us from the emotion. It helps us to recognize, simply know what's happening while it's happening. So our capacity to be aware of what's happening while it's happening is strengthened. The capacity to simply know. We strengthen that capacity for non-reactivity. So recognizing the emotion is really powerful. I had one experience on another retreat where I felt like I was experiencing a lot of doubt. Just was like, what am I doing here and how do I do this practice? And it just felt so much like doubt was primary in my experience. And it was predominant enough that I felt like I should ask a question about it. And we had an opportunity to ask questions each morning. And so I began during the time right after the sitting to construct the question in my mind, hoping that I would get called on to ask my question. And as I constructed the question in my mind, it became clear to me that the way I was going to describe my experience to someone in order to express my experience indicated I was feeling fear and not doubt. And that was quite eye-opening for me, that I wasn't actually doubt that was the root of the issue, it was fear. I didn't ever get to ask my question, but just that moment of trying to describe in my mind what's the experience, to express it, clarified the experience for me, and I noticed that it was fear. And from then on in the retreat, I noticed fear a lot. I noticed it coming up all over the place, but it no longer had that capacity to sway me into doubt. It simply was the fear. And the fear itself wasn't that hard to be mindful of, just recognizing the fear. So really recognizing what is happening is really helpful, to be clearly recognizing what's happening. But it's not always obvious. As this story shows, it's not always clear to us what's happening. Emotions can kind of be this mixture of confusion, you know, many different emotions coming together. And sometimes we don't know what we're experiencing. We simply know that we're experiencing some kind of emotion. So it's not so helpful to necessarily try to analyze it and figure out what the emotion is. It can sometimes be helpful to describe our experience to another person or to construct that description in our mind, as I did in my example, because it can help to clarify, you know, just describe, this is what I'm experiencing. That can help to clarify what the emotion is. But sometimes we just don't know. And it's okay to not know. We don't have to have the perfect name for the emotion. We can name it confusion. We can name it emotion. Or we can name it chaos. That's one of my favorites sometimes. It just feels like there's just chaos going on in the mind. That's a perfectly acceptable name for the emotion. Chaos, chaos, chaos. This is just chaotic. Sometimes, too, in our meditation, we can meet emotions we're not so familiar with. Michelle tells the story that when she first began meditating and she encountered calm, she didn't know what it was. And her note was something like, calm? Is that calm? It had a question to it because she just wasn't really sure. This is the experience of calm. So that's the first one, recognizing the emotion, simple recognition. That doesn't have to go into too much detailed experiencing in the body. It's just simply recognizing this is the emotion. And if it's not clear, recognizing confusion, recognizing chaos, recognizing unclarity can be just the first thing that appears can be used as our name of recognizing the emotion. So the second aspect is acceptance. In mindfulness practice, any emotion is okay. There's no emotion that is ruled out. It doesn't matter what the emotion is. And in our meditation practice in particular, we can really let ourselves feel anything. Even if it's great rage, we can let ourselves feel that. Just feel it in the body. Partly we have a little bit of protection in our meditation practice because here we are, we're sitting here, we're dedicated to attending to the experience itself and not on acting it out. So we can let ourselves feel what we feel. Just really give yourself permission to feel what you feel. That permission is so helpful to accepting what's happening. Sometimes it can be really unpleasant to experience certain emotions. And that, I think, is why we don't want to experience them. But as we start to bring our mindfulness to these experiences, we see, first of all, we see that the mindful experience of the difficult emotion is actually easier than the non-mindful experience of it. Over time, we start to see that it is less suffering for us to actually experience what's happening while it's happening, as opposed to just getting really churned up about it. And we also begin to get the experience of seeing the emotions have their life, that watching them disappear, watching them come and go, and without clinging to them, we can easily let the difficult emotions go, and we can easily be joyful and happy while the wonderful positive emotions are there, and then easily let them go when they too pass. So recognition, acceptance. The third quality is investigation. And this is investigating what the present moment experience of the emotion is. And this is really, this is that rubbing I was talking about before, the rubbing. What are we experiencing? Keeping in contact with the experience. A great place to do this is in the body for emotions. Take an interest in how you know you're experiencing the emotion, as I was talking about earlier. How do we know we're feeling joy? What tells us we're feeling joy? How do we know we're feeling angry? There's the thoughts that are going along with it. There may be some clues in the actual thoughts. There's the feeling in the body. There's the mood or the tone in the mind. So there's many, many physical sensations in terms of paying attention to the sensations in the body. There's many physical sensations that might accompany emotions. And the physical sensations that accompany the emotion are not the emotion itself, and they're not the story of the emotion. And they do have that tendency or that quality when we bring our attention to the physical sensations of letting us let go of the narrative, which really helps us to allow the emotion to be as it is. It kind of begins to let the emotion unwind itself as we allow ourselves to simply be with the physical sensations of the emotion. But it's very helpful when you're exploring emotion in the body in this way to be clear that you're exploring the emotion in the body. So if you are using the naming, and so for instance, if you're noticing fear in your experience and you've noticed a contraction in your stomach, and you started investigating, well, what is this contraction? How does the contraction feel? If you had been noting fear before, if you'd been noting fear, and then you became aware of the contraction in your stomach, rather than continuing to note fear, note contraction. Notice the actual physical sensation. This does a couple of things. It helps to clarify the mindfulness so that you are actually knowing what you're paying attention to when you're paying attention to it. So you're paying attention to the physical sensation. That's where the mindfulness is. It helps to clarify that piece. And it also helps to disengage us somewhat from the emotion, that we're not paying attention to the emotion directly. We're paying attention to the physical manifestation of it. This has been a really important lesson for me, this knowing the distinction between the physical sensations and really clearly identifying what it was that I was being mindful of. I was on a retreat And on another long retreat, it was another 3-month retreat. And we have interviews every 2 to 3 days on these retreats. So 2 to 3 days, we don't talk to anybody. And then we get 10 minutes to talk to a teacher. So that 10-minute interview, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people on retreat, tends to produce a lot of emotion right before the interview. There's a lot of, for me, it was a lot of agitation and anxiety. I have to speak to somebody. I have to tell them what I've been experiencing for the last 3 days. I've got 10 minutes to do it. How, you know, so there's some agitation and anxiety that happens. And so in one particular retreat, I was sitting there before the retreat and I was experiencing what I thought was anxiety. I was just noting anxious. I was noting anxious and feeling all the physical sensations, but I was noting anxious. And the interview went on for a really long time. Sometimes that happens. You know, you arrive for your interview and the interview ahead of you keeps going and going. And so I was sitting there for quite a long time in this state of anxiety, or what I thought was anxiety. And I did notice after some point that this anxiety that I was experiencing wasn't changing much. You know, what I was noting as anxiety, it wasn't going away. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, because normally as I bring attention to something, it changes somehow. And so I began doing a little more investigation. And I noticed that the whole body was kind of quivering. There was just this quivering sensation throughout the body. And as I paid attention to the quivering in the body, it became very clear that what I was experiencing was rapture and not anxiety. And at that point, it's like the entire experience shifted, and it's just like these incredible like sparks. And rapture can have a kind of very physical, almost unpleasant experience to it. There's a lot of electrical kind of shocky experiences in the body. And so that's what was predominant. And it passed in not too long after I became very clear, oh, this is rapture, and just feeling the physical sensations. So that distinction, that clearly knowing what we are experiencing, the physical sensations as distinct from the emotion, is really helpful. We can be fooled sometimes. In this situation, I was fooled, because that kind of quivering situation, quivering feeling in the body, was in the situation where I typically had been anxious in the past. And so I was fooled into thinking I was anxious. So we can be fooled. Sometimes physical sensations for one emotion can be similar to another emotion and be completely different emotions. So recognition, acceptance, investigation, and the fourth one is non-identification. We tend to usually very strongly identify with our emotions. We take them to be who we are. I'm an angry person. I'm a happy person. I'm a depressed person. We somehow seem to feel that these moods, these emotions that we're experiencing, which are actually visitors, they come and they go, they come and they go, but we feel like they're lurking, that they're really at the core of our being. I used to have a very strong identification with being miserable. I thought I was a miserable person. And what that did to me was that when I was happy, I would notice it. It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm happy now, but that's not who I really am. So I wasn't really noticing how the misery came and went and how the happiness came and went. I was so strongly identified with the misery itself that I wouldn't really let in the happiness. So the tools of recognition, acceptance, and investigation all support this quality of non-identification by helping us to be in the present moment, to become less entangled with the narrative of the emotion, and by taking an interest in what it feels like to be a human being experiencing the emotion. All of these things can help support non-identification. James Baraz tells a really great story of a technique or a trick he used when he was practicing with emotions and helping himself to not identify so much with the emotions. He pretended that he was an alien sent to Earth to study human beings. And he had taken up residence in this human body, and his job was to report back to the mothership what it's like to be a human being. This is what it's like when they feel anger. This is what it's like when they feel bliss. Just simply recognize and report what it is. Another lovely trick that I like, it's not exactly a trick, it's more just a shift, a recognition. Ajahn Sumedho talks about just saying, it's like this. Fear is like this. Anger is like this. It's like this. It's like this. That's really the acceptance, but it also really supports the non-identification. That quality of knowing what's happening, the quality of the mind being aware of the emotion. There's the two pieces going on. There's the emotion, and there's the knowing of the emotion. As we can begin to really rest or recognize the actual knowing piece, that there's the knowing of the anger. That knowing quality is not identified with the emotion. It's just reflecting. It's like a mirror. It's just reflecting. And if we can be aware of what it's like to know the emotion, we can really begin to get a sense of that non-identification. So most of the emotions that cause difficulty in our practice are the afflictive emotions. But meditation itself can bring about wonderful states of calm, of bliss, of peace, of happiness, of rapture. And we can also attend to these emotions. The main thing we need to take care of as we pay attention to these emotions is not to get hooked into them, not to think that they need to last. We can, when we start to feel these kinds of emotions, this calm, this peace, this bliss, we can think, oh, I understand now. Wow, this is great. I'm never going to be unhappy again. Well, these things don't last any more than the afflictive emotions don't last. So we really need to have the non-identified quality with the really wonderful emotions as well. In my own experience, I found that the kind of mindful quality, that kind of real non-clinging experience of these wonderful emotions actually allows me to experience them more fully somehow. That there's a sense with the wanting to hold on to it, that it's not quite allowed to flower fully. So that non-reactivity, that non-clinging, can really allow us to even more deeply experience these wonderful emotions. I also have found in my own experience, my own quality, as I mentioned earlier, I think of myself as a miserable person, so I didn't let the happiness in, that for me, initially, it was very difficult to even experience these things, the joy, the happiness, the bliss, the peace. There was so much resistance to experiencing them until I finally remembered, oh, this is impermanent too. I was sitting at my kitchen table one day and I was feeling all of this, not long after retreat, and I was feeling a lot of joy beginning to well up, and I'm feeling like, I can't handle this. I just can't handle this joy. So there was so much resistance to it. And then the thought passed through my mind, just the recognition of, oh, but this too is impermanent. This too shall pass. And then the joy got very intense, like a huge wave crashing through the body. And then it just receded, and then there was a more sense of peaceful happiness that followed. So really, the mindfulness really allows us to be fully present for both sides, for the difficult emotions as well as the wonderful ones. So does anybody have any questions or comments about anything that I've talked about? Yeah. I shifted. So the question was, in my description of the example where I was thinking I was anxious and then noticed that it switched to something other than anxiety. What was it that shifted? How did I know? Or how did I recognize that? Well, what happened was that I started paying more direct attention to the physical sensations, the quivering itself, and the physical sensations that were going on in the body. And it just became apparent that rapture was the experience, not anxiety. It was as if I had been telling myself I was anxious and believing it. And then when I stopped having that belief, that it became obvious that it was rapture. So it was a very abrupt shift. Give a definition of emotion? I'm not so good with definitions, but I would say a movement of the mind towards or away from an experience, you know, kind of in the basic sense of it. It's a movement of the mind, and it's a, the emotion itself is just experienced kind of as a, it's just a flavor in the mind. So it's not, the emotion itself is not thoughts and it's not bodily sensations, but it is this quality of movement of the mind to respond to our environment. I'm not sure. Does anybody else have somebody maybe is a more word person. Anybody else have any thoughts about a definition for emotion?
I was just reading today a little bit about A.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
He was kind of describing emotion as kind of like a neurological discharge that seemed like he was implying that it was kind of that energetic discharge that is kind of rooted in more like representational thinking or, you know, idea-based kind of experience. So not quite experience, I guess, but more, you know, the idea of what is perhaps occurring.
Yeah. Did everyone hear that? I'll see if I can repeat it, that he was talking about A.H. Almas, who talks about emotion being a neurological experience, the discharge of kind of energy, I guess, a discharge of energy that relates to our experience, to the idea or the concepts behind the experience, but is kind of a level removed from the experience itself. I think that there can be a direct experience of emotion itself also, so I'm not sure I completely agree with him. it doesn't necessarily have to be based on thought, but there are plenty of emotions that are that way, that is for sure. Anybody else have any thoughts about this? Any other comments or anything?
I was going to say, I think it might be even more primal than the mind. It's sort of a primal reaction that occurs from birth, practically.
Yeah, and I think you know, that movement, the base of emotion, I think, is what in the Buddhist terminology is called the feeling tone of experience, whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And emotion kind of springs out of that world. And I think all, even at the cellular level, there's a kind of a reactivity to pleasant, unpleasant. An amoeba will move away from something that's unpleasant and towards something that's pleasant. So, you know, there is kind of that primal movement towards things we like, away from things we don't like, and sort of out of that place, out of that that movement of pleasant liking, unpleasant not liking, I think a lot of emotion is born right from there. That's very primal. That it's not even human necessarily. Well, it's almost 9, so I want to give some thoughts about things to work on this week. So continue your daily sitting practice, and if you're so inspired, add 5 more minutes to your sitting time. And then I've got 2 other thoughts for things to work on. So once during the week, see if you can ride out an emotion, as I was describing, where you pay attention to it and don't act on it, but pay attention to it until it's no longer there. So it could be something really simple like wanting a candy bar in the middle of the afternoon. Just try the experiment and notice the wanting and don't act on the desire and see what happens. See if you can notice what the wanting feels like and notice when and if it disappears. Just try something really simple like that. If you notice some kind of emotion arising, see if you can ride it out. The third exercise has to do... Yeah, anybody have a question? Did you have a question on that? Okay, sorry. The third exercise has to do with appreciating the positive emotions. For me, this was a really helpful instruction because I was so focused on the negative emotions that it was really helpful to just notice when the positive ones were there. So try appreciating emotions that come up. They will come up during your day. Gratitude, joy, kindness, generosity. These emotions will appear during our day. So just recognize them. Notice that they've appeared. Let yourself take in the fact that these things are happening. And they're not going to stay. They're going to come and they'll go. But let yourself take it in. Oh, I'm happy right now. Or I'm calm right now. I'm peaceful right now. I'm feeling kind right now. Just notice that. So just see if you can begin to appreciate these feelings. And for some of you, this may not be so difficult, but there may be some of you who also have this kind of pattern. So those are that's my thoughts for the evening. And I have some handouts again. So I have them for each of the weeks, first week, second week, and then here are tonight's handouts, so if you'd like to take these, feel free. Thank you.